talking about? New Bible versions are from Satan. New Bible versions are from the devil himself. There's been an attack on God's Word since the beginning. We know in the Garden of Eden, we looked at a few weeks ago, we talked about the five things, how Satan corrupts the Word of God and all that kind of stuff, right? We talked about, he comes over, he says, "Yea, hath God said," over Satan in the garden. And so first he wants you to doubt that Word of God. So let's go put a little, we'll put a little thing up first. So first there's the doubt, there's the question mark, God's Word. And then leaving out, the word freely was left out from the Bible. So we have minus, it takes away from God's Word. And then we got added into God's Word, remember, a touch. So then there's added into God's Word. And then there was watering down God's Word. And the last one, what was the last one? I'll put water down while you tell me that. What was the last one?
Completely denied.
Completely denied. So just put like, no way. And completely denied. Is that good enough for completely denied?
Sure.
So these are Satan's five tricks. One, two, three, four, five. Five things that Satan does to come against our King James Bible. Satan's been coming against this Word of God from the very beginning. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 17. 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 17. And we're going to see different things that Satan has done to corrupt the Word of God. And he's been doing this from the very beginning. What does the government do when they want to take over parts of the world? They disarm them to take away their guns. And if Satan can take this two-edged sword out of my hand and replace it with a butter knife, an NIV, an ESV, he'll be happy to do that. And then, you know, he'll go a little bit farther. He'll keep let you have it, but he'll put the barrel facing yourself. You won't know how to use it. But tonight we're going to talk about him just removing it from your hand and going somewhere else. Satan has a very slick device to make our eyes see the death, burial, resurrection, but it's not enough. We'll see what God said, but it's not enough because there's things added and taken away and doubted and fully removed from God's Word. 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 17, the Bible reads, "For we are not as many," how many is many? A whole lot, "which corrupt the Word of God." Whew! So this is Paul over here talking to the Corinthians. This is in Paul's lifetime. And in Paul's lifetime, he said there is many that corrupt the Word of God. Now let me read it one more time. "For we are not as many which corrupt the Word of God, but as of sincerity, but as of God, in the sight of God, speak we in Christ." Paul said, we speak what Christ says. That's why you need to have a word-for-word translation. You need every word of God, Bible. And we got it. Amen, amen. We got the King James Bible. And I thank the Lord for putting his word in a book and preserving it to us. It's our choice to be tricked with the devices of the devil. Now, I have listed on your paper the five most popular Bibles. The five most popular Bibles. And this is, I found this in like many, this one in like many different collard herbs, that exact same order. And so this is going to be pretty much the five you're going to find. I Googled this in three different locations and it gave me the same list. Some were a little bit different, but the same list. The first one is the NIV Bible. The NIV Bible is the most popular Bible today, and it's been the most popular Bible probably since I've been, what do you think, Daniel? 10 years old? You know, it's been popular. And I'm not going to say it's popular in fundamental churches, because fundamental King James churches, because they're going to hold up against that stuff. But modern Chuck E. Cheese churches, modern evangelistic churches, Catholic Church, hey, even the Jehovah's Witnesses will use an NIV because it's close enough to what they believe. It came from the same, what's that called? Manuscript. The Alexandria in Egypt. And ours came from over there in Antioch, you know, where the disciples were first called Christians in Antioch. And just the name, you kind of have an idea. I'm going to look into this a little bit more. One's over there in Egypt. Egypt is known for what? What's Egypt known for? Huh? The world. Joseph went into Egypt, and the next thing you know, the nation of Israel is in bondage. They're in slavery. And so when going to Egypt is like going to the world. And why would I want a Bible that says the critical text and it came from the world? There's a problem with that. Anyway, I'm not going to hit those notions. I'm just going to show you some things, some facts here about the Word of God. So these ladies up front have those Bibles. One of you uses the NIV, one has the NLT, and I'll give you different verses to look at.
Okay.
You know, and we'll take turns to read them. So we, who don't have those ones, we'll just look in our King James Bible. Amen?
Amen.
And so we know the NIV is missing over 16 verses. Boom, just gone. Both of you, everyone, let's look up the verse, Matthew chapter 17, verse 21. Matthew 17, verse 21. Now, these verses aren't just like missing on accident. They didn't just fall out. There's actually study notes. There's 27 study notes in the NIV that tells you this was not in the original manuscript. And we know from a study that we did a while back that Moses busted those things up and then God had him rewrite them. We never had the original. They're gone. But God preserved his word through copies.
Yep.
And so we don't believe that kind of nonsense. We know what the devil's tricks and tragedies us is. For saying this wasn't in the original, what is that? Completely denying the word of God. Matthew chapter 16 and 17, sorry, 17. And verse 21, I'll read that one first. And it says, "Howbeit, this kind goeth not out, but by prayer and fasting." Alicia, what does it say in the NLT?
Nothing.
Nothing. Doesn't say anything. It's gone. Okay.
Yes.
They can't count.
And then 22.
20, then 20. I guess they can't count. Well, maybe the NIV is a little bit better. What does your NIV say?
Mine doesn't have it either, but it has a footnote.
Footnote?
Oh, mine has a footnote.
What does your footnote say? It
says, 21 says that this kind does not go out except by prayer and fasting.
So it's in yours.
But it's at the bottom.
Oh,
not in the
so
text.
It's not in there. It's at the bottom.
Yeah.
Footnote saying not in the originals. Okay. We see devil's tricks real quick. Let's go to the next. Matthew 18:11 should be maybe a page over. And mine says, "For the Son of Man is come to save that which was lost." That's a good verse. The Son of Man has come to save that which is lost? Huh, what'd they do with that in the NLT?
Nothing.
Not even there?
Nope, not right. Either.
But what? How about the NIV?
Huh.
They took it out, and then they told you, well, this is what it's supposed to say, but it's not in the original. There's a problem there. So we got two verses just gone. Okay, let's keep growing. Matthew 23 and verse 14. 23:14. Okay. It says here in the King James Bible, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye devour widows' houses, and for pretense make long prayers. Therefore ye shall receive the greater damnation." Ooh, that's some judgment right there.
The NIV, it's not in the text at the bottom, it's 14, right?
Yeah, 14.
At the bottom it says, "Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites."
Well, hold on. So it's not in the text.
No.
We don't need you to read it from the bottom. We just want you to tell you it's gone.
Oh, yeah, it's not in there at all.
So that's just crazy. The NIV, it's gone, but then they put it on the bottom.
Yeah.
Why? Because they don't really think it's supposed to be there. Making you doubt God's word. What's that going to make you do? you're going to have to think like this. Well, the Bible's not perfect. I'm going to have to figure it out. That's horrible. Now you have no final authority. No final authority at all. Maya, if you want to color or something, you can. Yeah, go ahead and color, baby. Okay, let's look at the next thing. Let's jump over to Mark. Well, we're in Matthew. I'm going to show you some stuff that's kind of crazy. Let's back up to Matthew 3:2, because I want to hear it in the NLT. The NLT is going to have a very strange translation of Matthew chapter 3 and verse 2. Now, let me ask you this. Does it say in the King James Bible we have to repent of our sins to be saved?
No.
You want to see it in the Bible?
No.
It's right there, that NLT. Over and over again. What do you have to do? Their kingdom, the gospel, they're messing it up. It's not even our gospel, but still, it literally changed the text. Let me read Matthew 3. Marshall read earlier, 3 and verse 2, and it says, "And saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Now, God is telling them to change their mind. Repentance is just a change of mind. You know, God has repented more than most folks. And in those versions right there, even in the New King James, they removed the word repent from the Old Testament. I don't know if you know that. Over there in the book of Jonah 3:10, where it says, "And God repented," it says God relented or something. They take those out so they can change the definition. But what does it say in the NLT over there in Matthew chapter 3 and verse 2?
"Repent of your sins and turn to God, for the kingdom of heaven is near."
Okay. So that one says repent of your sins. They're saying turn from your sins to get something. That's what it says. So you can see why someone who has an NLT, a New Living Translation, can literally think you have to turn from your sins to be saved. You might say, that's only one time. Oh, yeah, right. Let's go to Mark chapter 1, verse 4. Mark chapter 1, verse 4. And we're going to see how Satan's very tricky with his devices. Satan's going to come in here over and over and over. What did that horrible ruler Hitler say once? If you tell a lie loud enough and long enough, people will just believe it, something like that. I don't know if I said that 100% right, but that's... You tell that lie long enough, people think it's true. And you got these fake Bibles that are promoted by the devil himself because he hates the message of grace. And therefore, people hate the message of grace. The fact that the Lord Jesus Christ did something wonderful, and it's free, and it's available to us, Satan don't want you to know about that. Mm-hmm. Mark chapter 1 and verse 4, the Bible says, "John did baptize in the wilderness and preached the baptism of repentance." What for? For the remission. For the remission of sins. So here, in the King James Bible, it tells us that John baptized in the wilderness and preached the baptism of repentance. So his baptism, they had to repent from what? They were in idolatry. They were worshiping other gods. They denied being that servanthood. And that would be they denied that the program that God gave them. They were supposed to be the leaders, and it was for not forgiveness but for remission. Forgiveness they didn't have. Remission. What does the NLT say on this?
"This messenger was John the Baptist. He was in the wilderness and preached that people should be baptized to show that they had repented of their sins and turned to God to be forgiven."
Oh, that changed the whole gospel there, brother. Now, that literally said someone had to turn away from all their sins to show God with a sign, and then they wouldn't get in remission, they'd get forgiveness. Woo! No wonder we have so much problems at the door. When I'm trying to tell people the word remission, it means it's put on hold. It's not forgiveness. And they're like, my NLT tells me it's forgiveness.
Turn or burn.
Turn or burn. Oh, man.
That's what the NIV says, too, forgiveness of sins.
Does it? Read the NIV then.
"And so John came baptizing in the desert region and preaching the baptism of preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins."
So you get forgiveness. They changed the word remission to forgiveness. That wasn't part of my study, but it's coming out. So we got to address the issue. Okay, let's go a little bit farther to Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. And I'm hitting up key things that I know it says something about repent. And it says something about sins. And let's see. I mean, we can just quote Acts 2:38. Does anybody know how to quote it? Anyone? No one?
I'll read it.
All right, go ahead, son. Read it for me.
Acts 2:38.
Yeah.
And then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins. And ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost.
Amen. So here in the King James Bible, he's talking to the nation of Israel. They just killed their Messiah, and they need to repent. They need to literally turn from not thinking he's the Messiah to believing he is the Messiah and be baptized in the name of Jesus, and they'll have this thing called remission of sins.
Mm-hmm.
What does the NLT say?
Peter replied, each of you must repent of your sins and turn to God, and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins.
Forgiveness.
Then you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit.
That flips that verse all the way sideways, doesn't it? I mean, that verse makes it that you gotta turn from all your sins, be baptized. I wouldn't be surprised if a Church of Christ member would have that Bible and love it. Because that's what they promote.
Oh, yeah.
Heresy. Let's go over one page. Acts chapter 3 and verse 19. Acts 3 and 19. Marshall, go ahead and read in the King James, son.
3:19 says, repent ye therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out when the times of refreshing shall come in from the presence of the Lord.
Right. It says, repent ye therefore, be converted, that your sins may be blotted out when the time of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. And we know this is talking to Israel, and he's telling them to repent. So their sins can be blotted out when Christ comes back. That's what it's talking about. And we'll go ahead and read that in the NLT.
So I'm just reading 19, right?
Just 19.
Okay.
I know. Those things are aren't probably lying. They have two verses in one. So
now repent of your sins and turn to God, so that your sins may be wiped away.
What?
The next one is basically, the other part of that. Then times of refreshment will come from the presence of the Lord, and he will send you Jesus, your appointed Messiah. That's what 20 is.
Sure. So you see over and over and over, they're attacking the word repentance in these Bibles. They're making repentance mean feel sorry for your sins, turning from your sins. And that's a false gospel that we hear in many congregations. The Presbyterian churches, I'm not going to say things that embarrass people, but the Presbyterians, the Calvinists, the Methodist, the Lutheran, I'm not going to put names out there, but you drive down the street, you're going to see some people who agree with that. And that's how preachers talk. You're like, that guy was all dirty. I ain't going to talk bad about it, but anyways, let's get And so we see here how they attack the word repentance. Let's go to one more place on the repentance thing, and we'll go back to some other stuff. We're in Acts. Go to Acts chapter 19 and verse 4. Acts 19 and verse 4. So the devil's real slick. We're going to look at several things. We just looked at how he attacked the word repentance. We're going to look how he attacked the deity of Christ, about Jesus Christ being God in the flesh, how he attacks the virgin birth, how he attacks, how he actually calls Jesus Satan. We'll see that too. But you're in Acts chapter 19, verse 4, the Bible reads in the King James, amen, the only Bible. Then said Paul, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is on Christ Jesus. So it's the same thing. He's just kind of recapping what John's baptism was. It was a baptism of what? Repentance. Mm-hmm. Well, we don't understand that. Go ahead, Alicia.
Paul said, John's baptism called for repentance from sin, but John himself told the people to believe in the one who would come later, meaning Jesus.
A repentance of sin, that verse has been changed to. And we know that's not repentance of sin. but here's Satan coming after what? Coming after the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
He wants to deny what salvation is. And we're not going to look at all these verses. We'll look at some of them. But let me just name some verses. Over there in Mark chapter 7, 16. We're not going there. It's gone. Mark 9:44, 9:46. That's where it says, where the worm dieth not, the fire is not quenched.
Yep.
You know, and the Jehovah's Witnesses and the Mormons like that verse being gone. Why? Because they hate hell. They don't believe in hell. Luke chapter 17:36, Luke 23:17, John 5:4, Acts 8:37. We'll look at Acts 8:37 here in a minute. And a lot of people think that verse is removed so Presbyterians and Catholics can baptize babies. But that's not the reason it's removed. It's a lot deeper than baptizing babies. And we'll see that. Because we know what verse in the book of Acts, when was our program brought into eyesight of Apostle Paul? Acts chapter 9. Amen, amen. So Acts chapter 8, we know that the message of grace has not been preached.
Right.
So anyways, let's continue down our road. Let's go to Ephesians real quick. Ephesians 6. Ephesians 6, and we're going to look at verse 12. Ephesians 6 and 12. Now, I'm just reading the King James on this one. I should have told you that, sorry. But here in the King James Bible, Ephesians 6 and 12 says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." What we wrestle against is things we don't see.
Yeah.
And Satan's devices, he tries to take the Word of God, like I said, and replace it with a butter knife, the NIV, the NLT, the ESV, the New American Standard. All these fake versions, Satan tries to replace it. And so when you go to the Word of God, which is not, because you have a fake Bible, then you go down and you see the verse isn't there, and there's a study note that says it wasn't in the original. What are you going to do?
Yeah.
Then it's changed something over there for the nation of Israel, talking about repent, saying repent of sins. And now you think, maybe I do have to turn from my sins. And so now you're learning a whole new gospel that was never yours. Real quick, go to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18, and all the Bibles.
Okay.
1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 18. Marshall, go ahead. Okay, go ahead.
Okay, ready?
Yeah, I'm ready, son.
For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God.
We know that Paul taught a current salvation gospel. A gospel that you have current salvation. We know that kingdom gospel was future tense. This verse in the false versions has added a word. Why don't you guys, one of you just read, or both of you,
yeah,
one at a time.
All right, so the NIV, I gotta find it. Hold on. Okay. NIV says, "For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God."
Being saved. That just changed having current salvation versus salvation later in the future. They just removed it, the NLT.
"The message of the cross is foolish to those who are headed for destruction. But we who are being saved know it is the very power of God."
Boy.
And there's an exclamation point after destruction. I don't know if there is.
Yeah, they're pretty excited about that. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 15. And we'll see that where they put the word being in one more time. 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 15.
Amen.
Okay, you want to read it, Marshall? Wait, yeah. Let me look at this. I might not be the right verse.
Yeah, it is.
It is?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it is. I was looking at verse chapter 1, so go ahead.
For we are unto God a Savior, a sweet savor of Christ. In them that are saved, and in them that perish.
Right. So you see that? We're a good smelling aroma. You know, we're a good Savior. For we are unto God a sweet Savior of Christ. In them that are saved, we're out there preaching the cross, and in them that perish. Hey, they either believe it or don't.
Yeah.
What does the NLT say?
Our lives are a Christ-like fragrance rising up to God, but this fragrance is perceived differently by those who are being saved and by those who are perishing.
So this one says, those people, when you give them the gospel, they aren't even saved, they're being saved. What does the NLT say?
NIV says, for we are to God the aroma of Christ among those who are being saved and those who are perishing.
There you go. They add this word being, and one word added in changes the whole verse.
Yeah.
It changes your current salvation to kingdom salvation. Mm-hmm. They just removed Paul's message. Therefore, Peter and Paul taught the same thing.
Huh.
You see how sly they are? Real slick. Real slick. Daniel's getting mad back there about this kind of stuff. I've been mad for a while. Okay. While we're here in 2 Corinthians, let's look over, I think the closest place to go would be Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8, verse 37. And we're going to look at how they attacked the Godhead or the Trinity. Acts chapter 8 and verse 37. You know, we know that in the Great Commission for the nation of Israel was told to go out and baptize in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Ghost. The triune God. And we know when they talked to Israel, they just told them the name of Jesus because of the aspect the Jews understood the triune God. Now the Jews of today don't understand the triune God. They deny the power thereof. They deny it. You can look over there in Genesis, just, you know, I don't speak a different language, but that word God, in the beginning God, Elohim, meant plural, many. Mm-hmm. You know, so that you see the triune God right from the very beginning, and the Jews should know this stuff. They shouldn't be ignorant, but they are. Anyways, Acts chapter 8 and verse 27, or did I say 37? Mm-hmm. Sorry. Why don't you first go ahead and read yours?
Me?
Yeah.
Not there.
Oh, it's not there. What does the NIV say?
Not in mine either.
It's not in there. Okay. Let's find out why it's not there. Let's go to the verse before this and read it in context. Acts chapter 8 and verse 36 says, and as they went on, this is Philip, and Philip's the nation of Israel kingdom soul winner, we'll put. He's not the body of Christ soul winner. And he's out there preaching the gospel of the kingdom to the eunuch. And as they went on their way, they came unto certain water. And the eunuch said, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? Now, that's removed. The next verse was removed from the modern versions. But it has nothing to do about infant baptism. It has everything to do about Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He's God in the flesh. Look at this, verse 37, or I'll read it since it's not in yours. And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, what does he believe? We're going to see this. Thou mayest. Here's Philip, he answers. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. That's kingdom. That's kingdom gospel there. It's not, I believe the death, burial, and resurrection. He believed in the triune God, that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is God in the flesh. And so these modern versions or perversions hate the deity of Christ. They just can't stand it. And so anyways, let's go to the next event. First John, let's go to First John 5:7. Now in 1 John 5:7, in the fake Bibles, it's going to look like there's something there. But they're pretty sly. Daniel knows they're sly. 1 John, let me get over there. 1 John. Oh, I went too far with the Revelation. Give me a second, I'll go back up. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 7. Now I'll go ahead and read it. Or Marshall, do you want to read it?
Sure.
Right, son.
For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. These three are one.
All right, so it says in the King James Bible, 1 John 5, 7, and this is the great verse to prove the deity of Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. We know the Word is what? The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld the glory of the only begotten Son. Full, you know, over there, that's John chapter 1, verse 14. Mm-hmm. I might not have said it perfect, but that's what it is. That Word is Jesus Christ. Amen, amen. Mm-hmm. And let's read it one more time. For there are three that bear record in heaven. The Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. Three, one. That's the Godhead. That's the Trinity right there. Go ahead and read in your versions.
Sure. All right. NIV says, for there are three that testify.
That took the gas out of it. What does NLT say?
So we have these three witnesses.
You know what they did? They got rid of seven. They took eight and cut it in half. Let me read eight. And there are three that bear witness in earth. The Spirit, the water, and the blood. And these three these three agree in one. Read number eight in yours.
Okay. Eight in the NIV says, the Spirit, the water, and the blood, and the three are in agreement.
See? They got rid of seven. They threw it out the window, and they cut eight in half. Slide off. Did the NLT do the same thing?
Yeah. The Spirit, the water, and the blood, and all three agree.
Right. Right. And so they're really sly with going ahead and taking the Word of God and throwing it out. I didn't put this in my note, but I want to know now because it just popped in my head. What does it say in the NLT, in the NIV, in Acts chapter 7 and verse 59, where the King James says, and they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. That's a verse right there that shows the deity. He's calling on God. It says, and they stone. Let's go there because I don't want to blah, 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 blah. I don't want to do that. You know what I'm saying, Grandma?
I don't understand blah, blah, blah.
Exactly.
I hate that language.
Yeah, I don't want to do that either. My brain can go too fast and I forget what I'm saying. If we were in Pakistan, I'd have a shoe at my head right now.
Oh.
You know, they throw shoes. Anyways. Acts chapter 7, verse 59 says, and they stoned Stephen, calling upon God, and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And I don't know if it's tampered. I'm just curious. What does it say in the NLT?
As they stoned him, Stephen prayed, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit.
So they got rid of him, the God part. So they threw God out so they couldn't make Jesus God. What does it say in the NIV?
It says, while they were stoning him, Stephen prayed, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit.
They cut the deity of Christ out of that verse too.
Amen.
I'm not surprised. Not happy about it, but I'm not surprised. Let's go to a very common verse we hear a lot, 1 Timothy 3:16. 1 Timothy 3:16 is a very strong verse about what? God was manifest in the flesh.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Daniel, you want to read it from the King James? Amen, amen, brother.
What verse are you in?
1 Timothy 3:16. Amen. That's a very strong verse. It says, and without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. It is a mystery. God was manifest in the flesh. God was manifest in the flesh. It's a great, great mystery. Okay, I'm ready for the NLT.
Okay. Without question, this is the great mystery of our faith. Christ, oh wait, I don't know if I'm supposed to read that. Christ was revealed in a human body and vindicated by the Spirit. He was seen by angels and announced to the nations. He was believed in throughout the world and taken to heaven in glory.
So they took out God was manifest in the flesh. Mm-hmm. No God anymore. What does the NIV say?
It says, beyond all question, the mystery of godliness is great. He appeared in a body, was vindicated by the Spirit, was seen by angels, was preached among the nations, was believed on in the world, was taken up in glory.
It's a very strange verse. It would be
strange.
A little easier for me to try to get that out of that verse, but still, it's I don't like it. I want to burn it.
Like, they use words that are just, and they call King James archaic. But
sure.
Vindicated?
Well, let's go to the next verse, Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 8. Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 8, which should be just to the right of a little bit. Marshall, would you like to read Hebrews 1:8?
Yeah, let me get there.
Okay. Notice it says, but unto the Son he saith, thy throne, O God. So God is telling the Son, thy throne, O God. God the Father is telling God the Son, thy throne, O God. Very clear. What does the NIV say on that one?
It says, but about the Son he says, your throne, O God, will last forever and ever, and righteousness will be the scepter of your kingdom. That's it.
What does the NLT say on that verse?
But to the Son he says, your throne, O God, endures forever and ever. You rule with a scepter of justice.
Those I still don't like them. They sound a little bit better than the New World Translation removes it completely. The Jehovah's Witnesses Bible. And I don't want to run out of time. Let's get to a real biggie one. It'll hit you in the woo-woo.
Oh.
Let's go to Isaiah 14, verse 12. Isaiah 14 and 12. Now, I know in the NIV it removes the word Lucifer. How do we know that Satan's name is Lucifer or was Lucifer? Because Isaiah 14, 12 in the King James Bible. I think it might still be in the New King James, but we know it from this King James Bible. So Isaiah chapter 14, and verse 12. Okay, so in the King James, Isaiah 14, 12 says, how art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nation? So we have his name and his position. O Lucifer, son of the morning. Now, the NIV, keep your hand here, and let's open our Bible also to Revelation chapter 22 and verse 16, I believe. I have it written down here. Yep, that's it. 22 and verse 16.
This is
funny. What?
Because I just read both of them, and it contradicts them.
So, we know what the King James says, O Lucifer. And so it's referring to the devil, and he wants to be like the Most High if you read through the scripture. In the book of Revelation, chapter 22, verse 16, in the King James and also in the NIV, it says something. But I'm going to read the King James, obviously. It says, I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, and the bright morning star. Now, does it say bright morning star in the NIV?
In 22:16, yes.
And in the LT?
Yep.
So both of them say bright morning star, just like the King James. Okay. Now, what does it say in Isaiah chapter 14 and 12?
The NIV says, how have you fallen from heaven, O morning star?
Morning star. So they remove the name of Satan. They put one of the names of Jesus right there. Huh. That's pretty sly. Mm-hmm. Now, let me tell you a story real quick. I was trying out this Bible study my brother wanted me to go to because he was going to these Jew for Jesus Messianic synagogues years ago. We're talking about 2002, you know. And I went with him just to support him. And this guy came to me, this gentleman came to me and said, Jesus Christ is the devil. Let me prove it. And those are the verses he showed me in his NIV. And I said, burn that book. I don't know what that you have. I didn't know the King James issue at that point, but I just told him, burn it. Whatever you have is garbage.
Yeah.
Now, what does it say in the NLT?
How you are fallen from heaven, O shining star, son of the morning.
Son of the morning. Son of the morning. Now, I'm going to have to ask something out of the box real quick. But can you look up on your phone that verse in ESV, because we don't have one here? Yeah. ESV has another problem in that verse. The ESV calls them day star. And we'll see about this day star here in just a second. Go ahead.
Okay. Sorry, I had to get to it. Okay. How you are fallen from heaven, O day star.
O day star. So the ESV changed them to day star. Is that a name for the Lord Jesus Christ? Yes, it is. 2 Peter chapter 1. It's a name for Jesus Christ for that those kingdom saints. They're going to have the day star arise in their heart when they go into that kingdom.
Name of the TV channel.
Is it? Yeah, it is, isn't it? It is, yeah.
Oh my goodness.
It shows you. No, I've heard of it. 2 Peter after Hebrews. Marshall, who's Hebrews written to? Some coffee drinkers, boy. Hebrews, bless God. No.
Second Peter,
chapter 1 and verse 19. Now, Marshall, you want to read it?
Sure. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed unto a light that shineth in the dark place, until the day dawn, and the day star rise in your hearts.
All right, so the day star was over there. In the ESV put the word day star in Isaiah 14, 12, all right? And so this verse, now I'm going to tell you the context. If you back up to verse 17, the very last verse sentence, it says, this is my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased. Now Peter, James, and John were taken up to the Mount of Transfiguration. And they literally seen what Christ would look like when he came back in his glory. But he says we have a more what? We have also a more sure word of prophecy. We have something better than what I've seen and what I've experienced. And hey, that throws out a lot of churches right there. Whereunto ye do well that ye take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. And so here's Satan being removed. Lucifer is being removed, and two different names for the Lord Jesus Christ is replaced in his spot. This is going to make it set up for the New World Order pretty quick. Now, since I said that, and you're Peter, let's go back to Hebrews chapter 9, verse 10. This is not on my paper. I just thought of it. I had tunnel vision. Daniel told me. No. Hebrews chapter 9. Now, what do we know about the Antichrist? What are they going to call that time period when he comes back? When he comes, Satan's going to have, like the Tower of Babel, one language, one world money, one government. And what is that called? New World Order.
Right.
The King James Bible in Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 10 says this, which stood only in meats and drinks and diverse washing and carnal ordinance imposed on them, talking about the nation of Israel, until the time of reformation. When Jesus Christ comes back, he's going to reform all that. It's going to all be different. Now they call, in the NIV, what does the NIV say there?
Okay, it says, they are only a matter of food and drink and various ceremonial washings, external regulations applying until the time of the new order.
The new order? The new world order. I mean, that's setting up for the Antichrist to come in, isn't it? And Satan's going to come and he's going to say he's God in the flesh. These new Bibles, I mean, they're garbage. And we got to be very careful on what we read and what we hold. The Bible says over there in Matthew that we shouldn't live on bread alone, but every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Well, do you have any questions, comments?
How that verse doesn't say out of the mouth of Jesus. This is out of the mouth of God, because
sure.
It's God breathed.
Yes, it is God breathed. Well, let's go ahead and pray. Dear Lord, we thank you so much for your King James Bible. We thank you that we can hold to it stronger and stronger every time we study it. And we understand how Satan has a policy of evil. He wants to destroy the gospel of grace. We thank you so much, Lord, in Jesus' name.